Duly noted. We're going to try to begin at Sefer Yehoshua, do one parak a week, and make it through the end of Divrei Hayamim Beis. According to my schedule, we should be done in the year 3,742.
The very end.
Because we want to call Shabbat, we're not going to do an introduction. We're going to go straight into the first parak, the very beginning. And there is a connection, of course, between Yehoshua. I'll just say outside a little bit. Yehoshua is very different than all the other Sifrei Nach, in that Yehoshua is somewhat has the status of a minor sixth book of the Torah. Can't have Shesh Chumshei Torah. It wouldn't work out the Hebrew. But in fact, it has a certain status. In fact, the Gemara tells us that had Bnei Israel not sinned, we would have had the five Chumashim, and then on top of that, we would have also had Yehoshua. Yehoshua is different in terms that it was always meant to be. Yehoshua is a continuation, we see here, because at the very end of, just like Bereishis goes into Shmos, and chronologically it keeps on going that way, so too, what happens at the very end of Sefer Devarim?
Moshe dies.
And that is followed up by, right now, by He Achrei Mos Moshe Eved Adonai, by Yom Adonai Yehoshua Benu Meshoris Moshe Lemur. Moshe Rabbeinu dies, and that is followed by this. The first, I put way too many sources in, so we'll do most of them outside. I got a little carried away. If we were going to do every parak this way through Divrei Hayamim Beis, we wouldn't be able to finish in such a quick schedule as I offered beforehand. But I just wanted to talk a little bit of the fact is that this is a well-known Haftarah. When do we read this Haftarah?
Yes.
Yes. Well, it wasn't a yes-no question.
I think I know this, actually. I think it's
Yes, we do
read it.
Right. So Devorah thinks the Simchas Torah as well. However, if you look at the Gemara Megillah, it would indicate that you're wrong. The Gemara in Megillah says, Yom Tov Rishon Shechag Korim B'Parshas Moed Shabbataras Kohanim. Now, on the first day of Sukkot, we do the Maftir from Parshas Emor. U'Maftirin Hine Yom Bar Hashem. It's Avtosim Zechariah. V'ha'idna D'ika Trey Yomi. And now that there are 2 days of Yom Tov, this goes back a few years. So on the second day of Sukkot, in fact, you read from Malachim. Every other day on Chol Moed, you just read the Karbanos that were brought that day. Yom Tov Achron Karin Kol HaBachor Mitzos Achukim V'Bachor. That's what we read in the next parak in Malachim, Lemachar, on the last day, which we call now Simchas Torah, right, the second day Shmini Atzeres, Karim Vizos HaBracha, as we do, Umaftirin Vayamot Shlomo. So according to the Gemara, on Simchas Torah, you read the Haftorah from Malachim. Tosfos points out that there are other minhagim as well. Tosfos says number two, Yesh Makomo Shenogu LaHaftil VaYihi Achrei Mos Moshe. Some people read the first parak of Yehoshua.
V'Shibushu. It would make sense.
You say it's a continuation.
The Torah, so it's the continuation.
Correct. So Tosfos quotes the minhag and says, and it's wrong. Shibushu. Sharei Hashas Ein Omer Ken, because it's against the Gemara. Some people say it changed in the times of the Gaonim. But there's no explanation. So Tosfos mentions this minhag, and he says that it's wrong. Take a look at the halachic opinions of the Rif. Svarim Acherim Vayi Acherei Mos Moshe. So the Rif quotes that there were two minhagim. Some people followed the Gemara, and some people did not follow the Gemara. The Rosh is Biyantav Acherim Shachar Kom Kol B'Chor Maftim V'Kalos Vosh Machar Kom Zos Broch Maftim V'Yam O'Shromo Rifnei Hashem. B'yesh omrim. Again, the Rush has a second opinion. V'hi achrei mos Moshe ever Hashem v'hochi iser b'Yerushalmi v'hochi naginan. So by the Rush already, the Rush is already quote, there's a Yerushalmi. No one knows where this Yerushalmi is. He said this is the common minhag. The Machzor Vitri, which is the students of Rashi, again quotes that the what you're supposed to be doing is like the Gemara. Rav Yisrael, Rav Yehudai gom posuk b'hag v'yikra t'chil gim psukim b'yoshua v'hi achareis Moshe. He had a different minhag. He would read the one that the Gemara did, and then afterwards he would read those three as well. What do we do? What does the Shulchan Aruch say? So the Shulchan Aruch says, "B'makom shosim sheyomim tovim, leil chi on the ninth day of Sukkot." That's what we call Simchas Torah. Mekachim v'yomim zman olmachem motzim givul sorim v'kom be'echad v'zos habracha ad sofa Torah b'sheni b'reishis ad asher bara elikim la'asos v'shishi kol maftir kvo esol maftir v'hi achrei vos Moshe. By the time we get to the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, doesn't even quote an opinion to follow the Gemara, but rather it totally says, we just go and we follow the opinion of
the Riff and the Rosh.
Right? Who said the Yeshomim? Right, we do it. Rav Haigam. What's the reason for this? So Yossi is right. If you look at the Birkei Yosef, the Chidah says, it used to be that they would only finish the in the time of the Gemara in Eretz Yisrael, they'd finish the Torah once every 3 years. So Simchas Torah wasn't always Zos HaBracha. So Simchas Torah isn't Zos HaBracha. It doesn't make sense to focus on the Leni. It makes sense to focus on the Yontif. Once we went to finishing the Chumash every year, then it's natural. As we said, you finish Zos HaBracha. Naturally, it rolls into Yehoshua. There is a connection between the two of them.
When they were on a triennial cycle, did they celebrate Simchas Torah as a separate chag?
So they celebrated Simchas Torah as Yontav Sheni of Shmini Atzeres.
Right, but it didn't have the concept of Simchas Torah.
Correct. The idea Torah. That what we call popular Simchas Torah, right? All of that probably only started later in the times of the Gaonim. So there's an entire book on the topic. The Mosad Rav Kook came out with a large volume on the issue of where did Simchas Torah come from. My birthday is around Simchas Torah, so my wife bought it for me for my birthday one time. She went to this farm store. The guy recommended it. I'm yet to read it, but I'm sure it's fascinating. So
I'm still a little confused. So we read this.
So we, in fact, do this. Even though it's against the Gemara, we read this chapter on Simchas Torah as the Haftarah.
So where did we get away from the Gemara? It's from Malachim.
Right, so that's what we said. We went through the Rishonim, yeah. And we saw how over the years the tradition changed. The reason the tradition probably changed is because the Torah reading changed. So as the Torah reading changed, so too the Maftir changes.
Okay.
The connection between the two books is very important, right? I often like to ask the following question that people inevitably get wrong. What's the only yard site that's listed in the Torah?
Moshe Rabbeinu, right?
What? What?
Moshe is not listed.
What? Moshe's not listed in the Torah. The only
Aaron.
Aaron and Cohen. So, but everybody always says Moshe because everybody knows that Moshe died on
his birthday.
Zion
Adar. How do we know that? Where does it say it?
Because he was born on Zion.
No, because they mourned for 30 days, and then 3 days later, they went over into Eretz Israel, and that was the 10th of Nisan.
Correct. Now, of course, that only works if Yoshua comes right after the Chumash. There can't be a gap at all, or else that wouldn't work.
Why would they start mourning a few days after that? Why would they start mourning as soon as he died?
Why? What? Where did you get that idea that they started mourning a few days after the death? That's not what I heard Dr. Klavan say.
It says they mourned 30 days. Right?
Correct.
Yes.
That's correct.
Why do we have any reason to believe that the 30 days didn't start right after he died? Shouldn't
of course it did.
Right. So 30 days and then 3 days. You're saying there might be a space between the 30 and the 3?
Right. Yeah. Right, meaning that that we have to assume that right after the 30 days, that's when God turns to Yoshua and says, okay, 3 days and you're going in. Right? So again, that's where, obviously, that's what Tosfos points out here. There can't be a gap. There has to be a connection between Yoshua and Zos HaBracha. One has to roll right into the other one. Right? It has to be basically just an extension of the Chumash. So therefore, it's interesting because there are parts of Yehoshua where you get the idea where it has a higher status than the rest of Nevi'im and Kesuvim. It is a higher Navi, somehow or another. Again, there's minor places where you pick this up because it just kind of rolls right into it. And therefore, right, we have to assume that there is a connection, and Zion Udder is probably the most popular way where we see that.
Why do we think there's a gap between the 30 days and the 3?
We don't. We don't. But if there were, in fact, if there was a gap, we wouldn't know when Moshe died.
Oh.
The fact that we have Zion Udder indicates that there is no gap. That there is a connection. Chronologically, one runs right into another, right? We have no way of knowing that, for example, from Yoshua to Shoftim. We don't know if there's a gap there. Right? From Shoftim to Shmuel, there's likely a gap. Right? Between other books, oftentimes there is a gap. Right? Between Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis, that's only one book. Doesn't count. Right? So it's welcome. But oftentimes, there's no guarantee. Here, there has to be one. As we said, there's sort of a connection between one and the other. In fact, we see the connection on the other side. I'll just do it outside a little bit. But there is a famous question which is brought up in the Gemara Menachos, which asks, I don't understand, how Moshe Rabbeinu dies in the Chumash. 8 psukim to go, and he's dead. So the Gemara asks,
who wrote the last
8 psukim? Right? Because if Moshe Rabbeinu was dead, that would have precluded him to be able to write.
Why do you think he couldn't write about his death before he died?
Right.
Because then it wouldn't be true. And he'd be lying. If he was alive and he wrote Moshe Rabbeinu died.
Well, he knows when he was going to die.
What if he
now,
wrote
right?
it with Nebuah? I
mean, so yeah, if he writes he will die, that would be one thing. But Moshe Rabbeinu died.
Present when it's not present.
What? Right. So that's
also not right about himself.
God tells you to write right, but
isn't there an opinion that Moshe wrote it with tears?
Correct. So there's two opinions. One opinion he wrote it. The second one is that Yoshua wrote it. But again, giving the idea that already the end of the Chumash is being written by you have this strong connection on the other end as well.
And is it our tradition that Yehoshua wrote Sefer?
Yeah.
It is our tradition that Yoshua wrote Sefer Yoshua. That's what it says in the Gemara. Were I to be giving an introduction, I would spend some time on that very question. Because even though the Gemara says clearly that Yoshua wrote Sifro, right, the Abar Brunel disagrees with the Gemara.
What does he think?
He thinks that Yehoshaphat wrote it. And he has some points that are worth noting. I will point to the fact that Yoshua dies in the book and it keeps on going. So the Gemara actually asks that question and it says, Elazar wrote the rest. Then the Gemara points out, but Elazar also dies in the book. So he's asking if someone else finished it up. But up until then, what we're going to discuss as we go on regularly is there is oftentimes in the book of Yoshua use of the words ad hayom hazeh, to this very day. What does that mean, to this very day?
Till when the book was being written.
So one possibility is till when the book was, right, that this happened years ago. Now, to this day, it's still true.
I think you talked about this last summer.
That could be. It hasn't changed. Yeah. So if you say that till this day means till it's written, the whole book of Yoshua is only 20 years. So if he's writing it not that long after it happened, right? I turn around and I say, you know the Yankees lost the game on Sunday, and they haven't lost again to this very day.
That's true.
Right? So it doesn't really sound right, right? Till this very day, right, is more like the Cubs brought a billy goat, and then they haven't won again to this very day, 100 years later. Right? To this very day indicates a long amount of time. So therefore, that's one of the reasons Barbanella says, how could he keep on saying Ara Yom Hazeh if he's writing it concurrently, a year later? Right? What are we talking about here? So that's one of the major issues. There's a second way of understanding the word Ara Yom Hazeh.
But what if he wrote it at the end of the 20-year period?
And this all happened at the very beginning? Again, it happens. Right? I'll assume he wrote it then, but this happened. So other people say Ara Yom Hazeh means when you're reading it. That since it's written by Nevuah, when I say, and this is what it's called, Ad HaYom HaZeh, it means to this day.
Meaning forever.
Correct.
To the present time.
Right. Right. Not focusing on the writer, but focusing on the reader. Yeah. Right? So in fact, that would take out this question. Right? We will run into one or two stories in Yehoshua where it seems pretty clearly they happened years later. Well, you find Pelegish be given Yehoshua, I'd be shocked.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right? Right. Sure. So, right. But there are parts where, again, that's another reason that the Abarbanel believes that this was a different author. Rav Tzadok of Lublin wrote a long piece against it. Obviously, you can bring all the proofs you want, but you're arguing on the Gemara. So, yeah, there might be good questions, and the good questions might deserve good answers. But that doesn't mean that there aren't good answers to be had. So that's the story about the authorship. So again, the assumption is Yehoshua quite possibly wrote the end of the Chumash, and now he's continuing and writing the majority, the overwhelming majority of his book. See, and so Vayihi Acharei Moshe Eved Hashem, right, after Moshe dies, and now Hashem chooses Yehoshua ben Nun to take over. Why Bin? Why not Ben? So again, what?
I read an interesting thing about that.
In general, we Jews, when we were the son, we say Ben.
Right.
Right? Moshe Ben Amram.
Right.
Right? As opposed to our Arabic cousins who use Bin. It's not Osama Ben Laden. Right? Right. Bin. So why is Yehoshua Bin?
Because the when he added the yud, it needed two dots.
Correct.
So it took it from that.
Right. So that is one of the opinions. It's a cute one. Very.
It took it from what?
The story. So again, what the Dr. Klaver is referring to is as follows. If you remember, way back in Parshas Lech Lecha, mm-hmm. So Avram became Avraham,
right.
And Sarai became Sarah. Now, in the case of Avram becoming Avraham, he picked up a hay. Yeah. In the case of Sarai becoming Sarah, she picked up a hay, but she also dropped the yud. Yeah. So where did the yud go? So the yud went to Hoshea, became Yehoshua. So that's where he gets his yud from. But wait a second. To get Yehoshua, you don't just need a yud, you also need two dots. Right? You also need a...
I was
going to
say another
egg. A shva. Right. Right? So where are you going to get those? So according to the opinion that Dr. Klayman is alluding to, so the ben, which has a segel, became a chirik, and therefore the three dots became one dot, and they were able to take the two dots, and they were able to... A very sharp answer. Probably not the most correct one, but definitely a very enjoyable one.
It
happens to be very sharp. I like it. Right? Dr. Jacobs pointed out that in the first pasuk already you see a little bit of a contrast between Moshe and Yehoshua. Moshe is called what?
Eved Hashem.
Eved Hashem. Right? That's pretty high. What's Yehoshua called?
Moshe.
But again, so again, the idea being that Yehoshua is not starting on the level of but at the very end of the book, Parachav Dalit, Pasuk Chav Tes, if you want to look it up, he becomes Eved Hashem.
So we're talking
20
years later.
When he dies.
22. So what does Hashem say? Beis Moshe Avdi Meis, V'atok Kum Avoras HaYardein Hazeh, So listen, Moshe Rabbeinu has passed away. It's your job now. You're going to have to go and lead the people over the Jordan into the land of Israel. Koma koma shetidrach kafraglechem bolachem nisatir, kasher dibarti al Moshe. He said, wherever you lay your feet, that will become yours. There's a lot to be said about this, which we are not going to spend our time on. I'll just say it outside. That indicates that whatever they conquered becomes part of Israel. Now, that's an important statement. Let's say they, instead of conquering Israel, or in addition to conquering Israel, they would also pick up other nearby. Let's say they'd take a chunk of Egypt. Would Egypt now become Israel? Would I be chayvin Shemitah in Egypt? Would I be chayvin Trumas and Maestras?
Why not?
Okay, so that I'm going. Let's say right now, Israel goes and either for an offensive or a defensive war, goes and takes over Cairo. It's now chayvin Shemitah?
I doubt it.
Well, if it was conquered by Yoshua. So it's all theoretical. Had it been conquered by Yoshua.
Well, the question is, why is it only Komokom Shetir Kaf Raglechem? Why do we know it's only Yoshua and his people?
But maybe it means within the boundaries of the land is set forth in the Chumash.
Right, so he said...
It's not enough to have the boundaries declared, but you actually have to take possession of the land.
So let's say the reverse. Let's say there's something that's within the boundaries, but we do not conquer it. Gaza. Right? Is that not Chayv and Trumas and Maestras? Do I hate to say the word here, it's a sacrilege. Do I keep 2 days of Yontif?
if we didn't take over the land, it's not a relevant question. It's not practical.
Why? I shouldn't put this on the record. I know there's Jews who live in places that aren't Israel.
That's right.
It's a pretty, I understand. We'll erase it afterwards, maybe.
Redacted.
Right, huh? Right, that's it. It could very well be relevant. Right, so that's the question. Now, I think as you're kind of alluding to, Rabbi, look at the next pasuk. The next pasuk doesn't just say wherever you go is good. It says Gizlish me'amid barvah alavanon azeh ara nahar gadol nahar pras kol eretz achitim v'ad hayam gadol mava shemesh diyegvolchem. With that, we get borders. Right. Right, we get
these
bound.
Borders don't match the borders that are written in the Torah. In Parshas Matos, is it?
Correct. That is an excellent point. But they do match the borders which are mentioned in Parshas Lech Lecha. Right? Because what's notably different here? Right? The Yam HaGadol, that's correct. But Nahar Pras.
Correct.
That's the Euphrates. Right? So that means that would give us Saudi Arabia, wouldn't it?
All the way to Iraq.
Right. So what I'm saying is that the boundaries that we're given here are significantly larger. So even if you tell me, okay, we're limited by the boundaries, so maybe Egypt I can't take over, but when we take over Qatar and Saudia and those areas, right, that would both be captured and also be within the biblical borders of the originally promised the land.
So why do we do that?
We're on a record here. Shh, so radical.
I mean, it seems very clear what we're supposed to do.
So we'll try to cover a little bit of ground here, but the reason that we have two sets of books, shall we say, in terms of borders here, is because there are the current day borders and there are the borders that we are guaranteed. So for example, when Moshe Rabbeinu, last week's parsha, this happened, so we're going to see this in the next week or two. We have finally gotten our first piece of land, right? At the end of last week's parsha, Sichon and Og fall to Moshe, and with that, the Jews have captured what we will call the Transjordan, right? So therefore, what does Moshe Rabbeinu do in Parsha Matos Maaseh? Arei Miklat. He says, I'm putting three here, and there's going to be more. Where are there going to be more? When you cross over to the west bank of the Jordan, that also is going to get three. But we have a tradition that there will be another three as well. That when the borders expand, as they are promised here, to Nahar Pras, at that point there will be a larger Israel, and that will also get its own set of Arei Miklat. Right? So when we're talking now, we're talking about the very big picture, the ultimate goal here. And we get some guarantees. Hey, lo yitziat zev ish lifanecha kol yemechayecha kasher yisi imosha yeimach lo arpecha lo ezvecha. Says, and nobody's going to go against you, guaranteed. And no one can stand in your way. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu was with Moshe, I will be supporting you as well. Guaranteed, 100%.
Does that mean no more Korachs?
Well, Moshe had a Korach.
Right.
But that no, is... But what it means is as follows. Again, it means...
divine inspiration.
No, I think it's even more than that. Again, trying to cover ground here, it's my own fault. Again, I have to hold back from my innate desire to talk out these issues. But this means that you have a din melech, that you have just like Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a king, as it says, Vayihi Bishurin Melech, referring to Moshe, so too Yoshua as well has the status of melech. And that means if anybody disrespects the king, they could be liable for the death penalty. So that's what he says. Lo yitzas ish lifanecha. Anybody who gets in your way, you can deal with him as you wish. Chazak ve'ematz ki ato tanchil es ha'amazeh el ha'aretz ha'shen ishbati ravosom los Yisrael. Be strong, because you will in fact have to stand in front of everybody who's going to try to stop you, but you have my guarantee you'll be able to capture the land. Again, Zayin, Rak Chazak Ve'ematz Ma'od, Mishmor La'asos G'chol HaTorah She'atzivcha Moshe Avdi, Al'tosur Mimenu Yamin U'smol L'man Taskil B'chol Asher Telech. How are you going to do this? Follow the mitzvah straight. Exactly what you are told to do, the mitzvahs. You follow the mitzvahs, you will ultimately be successful.
Of this guarantee, how did it come to pass that Yehoshua ultimately did not conquer the entire?
So one answer is he had a guarantee that if then.
Ah, all right.
So one could answer it that way. We'll hold off on that as to why ultimately Yehoshua is not the success that potentially could have been. Next pasuk is a very famous pasuk, and it's a very important pasuk. The pasuk tells us in Chesed, "Lo yomish sefer haTorah zeh mipicha v'gisa bo yomam v'layla, l'man tishvur lasas kol hakasu bo ki oz tatzliach es darkecha v'oz taskil." He says that it's not just a matter of somebody of just doing Torah mitzvahs, but specifically limud haTorah. You want to be successful, you have to learn Torah. Well, Yomush Sefer HaTorah Zeh Mipicha. It's a pasuk that if you heard of it, you'd think that it's in the Chumash. They said that the Torah will have to always be have V'higisa bo yomam v'layla. You have to work on it day and night. The Gemara in Menachos talks about what does this pasuk mean. Right? There you go. Brought your special Yehoshua Shtender with you. There's a second one to your right. What does this pasuk mean? So this, why is this discussed in Menachos? What does this have to do with Menachos? So the Gemara Menachos is talking about the Lechem HaPanim. The Lechem HaPanim, the showbread, was put on the Shulchan, it was there tamid. All the time. What does the word tamid mean? What is hasmada? So the Gemara has a machokas. One opinion is that it had to be, what? One opinion is that it's there literally all the time, right? That you have to, that as you are putting on the new bread, you can take off the old bread, but at all times there is lechem upon him on the shulchan. But the other one is no. There, a day doesn't go by where there isn't some bread on the shulchan. It's the same question. There is a machokes regarding how much Torah you have to learn. What is considered hasmada? It's easy higisa bo yomam v'layla. That's a machlokes between Rabbi Yishmael and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Right? One opinion says, same thing, that in fact you have to learn all the time.
An hour during the day and an hour at night, you should be okay.
Right, once it's all the time, once it, you may just say Kriyashma. say Kriya Shema in the morning, I say Kriya Shema at night. I've already Yisbo Yomam V'Layla, I did both. Right? So what's the breakdown? So Rabbi Yishmael says all the time, as opposed to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, says that that no, it's only a little now and a little then. This is the exact opposite of the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos, which is number 15 here, talks about the famous machokes between the same people, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Yishmael, regarding what is the proper way that a person should live their lives. According to Rabbi Yishmael, a person should get up in the morning and daven shacharis, and then eat breakfast, and then go to work. And when you come home, you should learn. According to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, he says, I don't understand. If I'm going to go and I'm going to plow the field when I'm supposed to plow it, I'm going to seed it when I'm supposed to seed it, and then I'm going to go reap it. Torah my
tehe
aleho. That's what you're doing all day. Right? What am I going to ever learn Torah? How's anyone going to become a Talmud Chacham? Now, this seems to be the exact opposite opinion. This is the same Rav Shimon Bar Yochai who said, I just have to do Shachris and Mariv, say Kriya Shema, and I'm done. So how's he saying that I can't even go to work? On the other hand, the same Rabbi Yishmael, who says you have to learn all day, he says, yeah, but don't worry, go to work, etc. So it seems that these two Gemaras are, in fact, clashing with one another with the understanding of this pasuk. What's v'yigiso bo yomam v'layla? Very important question, how a person should live their life. It's interesting because the Gemara actually gives an opinion at the end. It says, harbe asu k'Rabbi Yishmael v'alsi v'yodeyim, v'harbe asu yoshim v'yochai v'alsi v'yodeyim. Many people went and followed this approach of going to work and then learning, and they were very successful. And then many people who followed Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who just learned, ultimately were not successful. So the question is, how does this all work out? So the Nefesh HaChaim of Chaim Volozhin, number 16, again, it's longer, we're not going to do it inside, I'll just say it out outside, turns around and says that, in fact, it all works out together. What is the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael? Rabbi Yishmael is of the opinion that a person ultimately is supposed to be learning all the time. That's true. That's the chiyuv. However, what does all the time mean? I have to sleep at night. Is that bittul Torah, to sleep at night?
You need to sleep to be able to learn Torah.
You need to have kemach
in order to be able to learn Torah.
It says again, so obviously sleeping is not bittul Torah. Eating breakfast? Not bittul Torah. Going to the bathroom? It's not bittul Torah. Again, a person has to learn all the time, but all the time meaning all the free time you have to learn. Right? And when I'm davening shacharis, that's not time for learning. When I'm eating breakfast, when I'm going to sleep, that's not time. So do we say, just like the other items listed are not bittul Torah, it's not time, a person's got to go to work. Yes, you're supposed to be learning all the time, but all the time is defined as all your free time. And yiddach machana parnasa. What can I tell you? It's not free time. As opposed to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who says that, no, really, all the time means that bid the Everd, v'yisa yom v'layla, you know, that means Kriya Shema. That's what it actually means. However, guess what? It's just saying Kriya Shema in the morning and night. It's not going to make you a Talmud Chacham. Right? You're not going to know halachas once you do that. So therefore he says, Torah Maiteh Aleha. And in fact, the maskana really is that we follow Rishmo. Because that's what he says, that Har B'yasu, many, many people out there follow the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. And in fact, was everybody successful? No, a lot of people, in fact, probably went to work and never got around to learning. But for the majority of people, it works. Similarly, are there people out there who didn't get a job and went and learned and were successful? Yeah. Just it's a small minority. Harbe did not. So that's the idea. So this is the sorceress. Does not appear in the Chumash. It's here in Yehoshua. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. You want to be successful? You got to learn the Torah. You got to do the mitzvahs. That's what I'm saying. Be strong. Don't worry about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of you. Note this is really the third Chazak Ve'amatz that we've had in the first 10 Pesukim.
What you needed a lot of physics, apparently.
Right.
Yeshua needed a lot of physics.
And a lot of emuts also. That's why we did all those. Strength.
Be strong and fortify yourself. I know. So I'm just saying you need a lot of fortification and strength.
Not an easy job.
Moses' shoes was not an easy job.
All right, so now that's what God says to Yeshua. Now Yeshua turns to the people. So he talks to the Shotrim and he says as follows. Got 3 days to get ready.
Yeah.
You need to get ready, you get 3 days for it. So he says, you got 3 days, in 3 days we're crossing over, get your, start packing up.
Is the seder supposed to be food?
Yes.
Yes.
Ra'uveni v'ragodi v'chatzei shevet ha'menashe amu Yehoshua le'mor. Now, there's some other unfinished business he has to take care of. If you remember, if you don't remember, we're going to hit in the Parsha pretty soon, right? After we conquer the Transjordan, certain Shvatim come forward and they say, you know what?
We won't get on the other side.
This place ain't too bad. I can get used to this. And there's negotiations and eventually they agree that they will set up here, but they will go across. So Yehoshua says, remember, you guys owe me. So he turns to these 2.5 Shvatim. Again, it's a little bit, we're not going to focus now, but remember, there's only 2 Shvatim that came forward. It was Reuven and Gad. How did Menashe get into this? What? Different opinions. I list them for you here in number 21, 22, talk to that question. Right? Either they were encouraged by Moshe, right, in order... That one opinion is the fact that that a shevet will only always stay close to each other, to their relatives. So if you split Menashe, there will always be a connection between the two sides of the Jordan. That's one possibility. Another possibility was just because you came forward, that means you have the right to do it. Another shevet would turn around and say, "Wait a second, this is an option. I want in on it." Right. So therefore, it could be they just opened up and have Menashe and said, "No, we're in also." However it worked, we now have 2.5. So Yud Gimel, what does Yehoshua say? Zechor asa davar asher tziva aschem Moshe ever Adonai Remor. Adonai Elohechem eniach lachem v'nasan lachem es haaretz hazos. Remember what Moshe said. He said, okay, you can have this land over here. That's fine. What are you doing? Nesheichem, tapeichem, u'miknechem yeshu v'aretz asher nasam lachem Moshe be'ever ha'yardim. You can build up a cities. You can prepare for your wives and children, but you are going across the Jordan. You're going to lead the charge.
You're going to come armed as mighty warriors.
Okay, Tesvav. עד אשר יניח אדוני רעכיכם כוכם ויושב גם הם אס ארץ אשר נאוהיכם נוסעים רואהם ושבתם לארץ ירוש אסכם וירישתם עושה אשר נוסם רואהם מושה עבד אדוני בעבר ידי מזרח השמש. So remember, you've got to go, you've got to lead the charge, and only then you'll be able to turn around and in fact go back and resettle your land. They respond, Tazayin Vayanu as Yehoshua Remor, Ko Asher Tzivos. Thank you. Tzivisonu Nasev El Ko Asher Tishlachinu Nerech. Said, we're men of our words, as you said, we will do. And not to worry. Kechol asher shamanu el Moshe ken nishma elecha rak yi Adonai elecha yimach asher yai Moshe. We are absolutely, positively willing to follow what you said, assuming that God remains with you the way that God remained with Moshe, 100%. Kol isha she yamri as picha vo yishmas tvarecha v'chol asher titzavenu yumas rak chazak ve'ematz. So again, that is number. We end with the fourth. That's, of course, the end of the Haftorah as well. With the idea being that, Yoshua, if you prove yourself to be a leader, if you remain strong, if you're not wishy-washy, if you lead us in the way that Moshe led us, meaning following the Torah and if having the relationship with God that Moshe had, then we absolutely, positively will follow you without question. And that is basically the first parak. The first parak is the setting up of Yehoshua. Yehoshua is at this point taking over for Moshe, and he's given full opportunity. Now, Yehoshua, how do we have time for an introduction? Yehoshua has been a very interesting character. Yehoshua keeps on popping up throughout the Torah. Right? How many times can you name Yehoshua being in the Torah? Right, so we are introduced.
Famous at the Meraglim.
Right, so again, he made it big at the Meraglim
with Amalek.
Right, but that Meraglim is by Midbar. The war with Amalek happens when?
Right at the beginning, after they leave Mizrach.
Back in Besharach, right? We never introduced to this guy. He just shows up, and there he is. What else have we seen him? Right, so again, we hear about him when they go up to Har Sinai. Right, he comes down. There's Yehoshua. Kol Reo B'machane. Lo Kol Anos Gevura. Lo Kol Anos. Right, that's he's there as well. If you remember the story with Eldad Umeidad.
That's
right. Right, Adoni Moshe, Kalim. So he just, you would expect the first thing to have been the Meraglim, because yes, that's when he made it big, but he had popped up a few times beforehand. The whole thing's also a little strange, that what happens right before the Meraglim, he gets a name change. Hoshea becomes Yehoshua. What was he referred to as in Beshalach? What was he referred to in Kitisa? Sure. Also Yehoshua. But do we do that with Avram? Do we do that with Sarah? Do we do that with Yaakov?
No. Mm-hmm. Once they change their name, they stay with them.
Right?
Yeah, Yaakov sometimes is referred to as
Yaakov. But before he was named Yisrael, he was never referred to as Yisrael.
No, right.
Right? Only afterwards we referred to him. So Yehoshua is an interesting character in and of himself. He's a personality.
And his introduction by Dad and Eldad and Medad, he wasn't exactly correct. Moshe had to kind of reprimand him. No,
right.
I wish everybody was
right
prophesying.
But it's interesting. Like, why was that even recorded? Like, what would we have lost by had we not known that Yehoshua said, "Kill them"? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Easy does it, boy. Easy does it." See, that's
you just saw his complete devotion to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right, but haven't we seen that already? Who now lo
yomish?
Yeah. It's a very interesting. There's a lot to be said. I'll just.
So where is he coming from? What do we know about where he comes from?
So again, I, as I said, we're trying to jump right into this. I'm just going to lay out, but I'll just say one word because I look at Miguel here and he'll appreciate it. From Rav Goldwicht. Goldwicht speaks about it. The idea. So there's a question of why is it that the Medrash asks, why was Yehoshua chosen? Out of all the people, why was Yehoshua chosen next? So it says because Yehoshua used to, before Moshe Rabbeinu gave Shurim, he would set up the benches. That he would go and take care of everything for Moshe, make sure that the benches were set up, he would clean up afterwards. So I remember Golva saying, so let me think. He said that we need a new Rosh Memshalah. We need a new prime minister. So what are we going to do? So one guy raises his hand. He said, he's got an unbelievable driver. The driver's the best guy ever. He picks him up on time. He drops him off. The car's always clean. Let's make him the new prime minister. So what would they say? And this is what they'd say. He doesn't have a criminal record. How can he be the prime minister? Right? They said, yeah, he'll get one. Don't worry. So the answer is that in order to be the leader of the Jewish nation, The what you need is humility. It can't be about you. It has to be. So that was the idea, that Yahushua was totally subservient to Moshe. He just wanted to do what was right. So that being the idea that they understood that that Yahushua, you're a person who's subservient, right? It's not about you. You're not in it for your own good, right? So therefore, you're somebody, you could run the Jewish nation. You'll care about them. But that's also why, repeatedly, we have to say, Chazak ve'amatz. This isn't the time to be subservient. Now is the time. You're not doing it for you. Right? You're not doing this. This isn't the time for humility. Right? Because this is the time where you're going to need to be strong. You need to be a leader for this to work.
They're not mutually inconsistent. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most
talented. I know Mikol Adam. Correct.
A strong leader.
Right? Correct. And that's what they're asking from Yahushua. That's what everyone's saying. Yahushua, we need. It's not easy, but you're going to have to be another Moshe. Right? You're going to have to be the perfect individual, but at the same time, you're also going to have to be the strong leader. So that's the introduction here. That's what we're beginning with. And we'll take it from here next week.